KNW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The latest inflation indicator released by the Labor Department showing consumer prices ticked up slightly last month compared to a year ago, sending stocks soaring. ABC's Jim Ryan says the numbers for November are in line with analysts' expectations.
Last month's year-over-year increase in prices for all items came in at 2.7% compared to 2.6% in October. Rising inflation would normally have the Federal Reserve considering a boost in interest rates. But when Fed officials meet next week, they're expected to lower a key rate by a 0.25%.
The attorney representing Luigi Mangione says his client plans to plead not guilty to the murder of United Healthcare CEO last week in New York City. The 26-year-old being held in Pennsylvania prison on a gun charge while he fights extradition to New York. In Southern California, 20,000 people now have been evacuated as crews in Malibu try to get the upper hand on a wildfire. Santa Ana winds should ease tonight. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Wisconsin Department of Justice Division of Criminal Investigation is looking into an officer-involved death in Oshkosh. Officials say Oshkosh police received a 911 call about a stabbing on West 10th Avenue last night. Officers found a victim outside and a man inside the home brandishing a bladed weapon. The suspect failed to comply with orders to drop the weapon, and an officer discharged a firearm, hitting the suspect. While officers were trying to save the suspect, a second stabbing victim was found in the home. All injured parties were taken to the hospital, where the suspect was pronounced dead. DCI continues to investigate the incident. When the investigation concludes, it will give reports to the Winnebago County District Attorney's Office. The Donald Trump allies involved in a scheme to overturn the 2020 election results in Wisconsin could face decades behind bars. Savannah Tomei Olson has the new developments in the fake elector case.
The scheme involved Trump campaign staff and allies. Jim Troupas, a lawyer representing the Trump campaign in Wisconsin, Trump campaign advisor Kenneth Cheesebro, and former White House aide Michael Roman. The State Department of Justice says they had 10 Republican electors sign fake documents saying Trump won Wisconsin when Biden had 20,000 more votes. Prosecutors say they planned to give this fake paperwork to Congress so Trump would get Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes. In July, the three were charged with one count each of felony forgery. Well, now the prosecutors have tacked on more charges, an additional count for each of the signatures on the fake document. That means Troupas, Cheesebro, and Roman each now face 11 felony counts of forgery. Each of those counts could carry up to 6 years in prison and up to $10,000 in fines. Tomorrow is their first day in court. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
Bucks are headed to Vegas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Magic 114-109 to return to the NBA Cup semifinals in Las Vegas. Giannis led with 37 points in a game that went back and forth with the Magic. Doc Rivers.
Listen, I thought both teams, you know, I think we're known now over the last 12 games as a defensive team. And yet at halftime, we were shooting 58% and they were shooting 57%. And I told our guys, I said, the first team that plays defense goes to Vegas. Bottom line.
College basketball. The Badgers lost last night on the road to Illinois. The final 86-80. Number 20th ranked Wisconsin has suddenly lost their last three in a row. At the baseball meetings in Dallas, Brewers GM Matt Arnold named Executive of the Year. And he gave credit to the Brewers National League Manager of the Year, Pat Murphy.
Yeah, it starts with Pat. I think it starts with our ownership group, all the coaches around. I mean, our players, certainly. I mean, our front office guys. I'm surrounded by incredible people. And really, when you get these kind of awards, it really is a team award.
That's Brewers GM Matt Arnold. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Blustery and becoming cold. With crashing temperatures all throughout the day and scattered snow showers, accumulations should stay under an inch. But winds will whip up to 30 miles per hour, creating wind chills that'll feel more like 10 to 20 below. And the cold has a grip on us tomorrow, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 26 degrees at our studios.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.fm today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Sign up today at WGBW.fm/newsletter.
No matter how you say it, Berenson's Candies in Green Bay has been synonymous with Christmas tradition since 1925. That means a trip to Green Bay without Berenson's Candies could get you in a lot of trouble. Stock up on your favorites like Meltaways, Pecan Turtles, and Angel Food. When buying your candy this year, you better make it Berenson's. The Berenson's family wishes you a Merry Christmas season. Berenson's Candies, 200 North Broadway in Green Bay. The chocolate people dream of, no matter how you say it.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin will be joining us. Also, Paul Noonan to talk all things sports and Aaron Rodgers. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinair on air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, December 11th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Pump Day!
Wow. The camel got, well, you know, it is grown up giveaway text to win contest. And, you know, I did not know this. I watched over the weekend, Zommers, and I found this, the adult adaptation of It's a Wonderful Life. And the little girl at the end says, every time Santa's whip cracks, an angel gets his wings, which I didn't know that until I watched the adult version. Have you seen that, Pat Crayla?
I'm just letting you hang on that one all on your own, Pally.
Well, anyway, it ties in because in hour two, we're going to play some growing up gift list text to win contest trivia. It's not trivia. I just call it that. And I believe today in hour two, we are giving away, and Trivi Olson, a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joins us from D.C. right now as well. He'll appreciate this. Today, we're giving away an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And I know how much Trivi enjoys Chula Vista. Also joining us on the program, Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8 on Lake Wissota, Patrick Harris.
A little chagrined, but I'm fine. I'll try to provide the PG version of today's show for
yes.
you. But continue with your adult Christmas gift list.
Well, no, it's just
hey, Pat. There is. Can I?
Sure.
Can I just mention to Pat there was big news out of Chippewa Falls the other day? The Chippewa Falls hockey team lost to the River Falls hockey team for the first time in 12 years. Pat.
12 wow. years.
Yeah.
Wow, 12.
River Falls finally beat them.
That is some dominance over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, till now. Dominance.
Yes.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you both on once again. Pat, what's popping, as they say, up at Chippewa Falls?
Well, thankfully, not my tires. I had them all replaced today at my local farm and fleet, so I appreciate that. It was time for that to happen. Just in time, of course, for the snow to come falling down and make me glad I'm not running on threadbare treads. But
always good.
Nope. Beyond that, the sun has finally come out for at least a little while, which is also a sign that with the clouds breaking, temperature is about to drop like a rock over here. So
yes.
welcome to winter, everybody.
Absolutely. Coming up also in hour number two, as we said, our text to win contest, also what's worse. And at 1:30, Chad Holmes, our great host and anchor up there at WXCO in Wausau, will join us. Big local issue going on up there. The Wausau School Board met on Monday. They're facing a situation where they may, keyword may, have to look at closing 4 elementary schools in the Wausau School District. So Chad will be in. He has the details on that. We'll talk about that in hour number two as well. But Trigvi Olsen, we are getting set to hop on a jet plane. We're going to meet each other on Friday out in beautiful Seattle as we help cover the Seattle Seahawks and Packers game. Are your bags packed, Trigvi?
No, they're not even close.
Where's my invitation?
Patrick, you're welcome to come. Come on along.
It just kind of happened this way, Todd.
Mike Tirico did not reach out to me. I've not heard from anybody at NBC Sports about this.
Well, my youngest godson lives out there. He works for the Navy at the Bremerton Naval Shipyard.
This is like your trip to L.A. There's always a connection over here.
Well, sure, because I'm not. There's no hotel costs. I crash on people's couches. Right.
You are as innovative as you are cheap. That's a beautiful thing. You are thrifty, my friend. Are you sure Todd's a former Republican? Yes, he is. He's got the chops, the fiscal responsible chops to prove it. Good for you.
Well, and Trigvi, of course, and I think this is lovely. One of the things that he does with his two daughters is their goal is to eventually go and see the Packers in all of the NFL stadiums. So it's time to cross Seattle off the link.
They,
so his daughters
in Lambo anymore. Then yeah, I can see why you'd have to do that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You haven't seen the inside of that little Lambo jail that they have in there, have you? By chance,
they have one.
That's the rumor. Oh yeah, there's all kinds of places where you can get the latest
courthouse in Philly.
I believe that, but yeah, you can always get the latest police radio reports as they take care of drunk and disorderly fans at Lambeau. Makes for good reading.
Oh, that's fair. I didn't see now. We should do a segment. Wouldn't that be great? Because like in all the small town newspapers, people buy the paper simply to go to the police blotter to find out which of your neighbors has been arrested. That's what they're really looking for.
I think that out there at WGBW, there's a little program featuring a former mayor of Green Bay. He could spill all the beans on this.
Spill the tea. And the mayor do the police blotter.
Got to look into that.
I think that's spectacular. So, Trigvi, are the girls excited to be joining us out there in Seattle on Friday?
Yeah, they're excited to come on the show and talk Packer football with you, Todd.
All right. Well, I think that's fantastic. I'm looking forward to it.
And we're going to see a bunch of sights. We're seeing a bunch of friends. I the best part of this is that, isn't so much the football. It's that they're getting to go see museums and learn about all these great American cities. And have an appreciation of how big and diverse the country is.
Will they throw the fish or will they catch the fish at the Pike Place Fish Market out there?
That's a cool place.
You've been out there? Kaya, who's turning 13 tomorrow, will be throwing fish at her sister, would be my guess. But...
Put down that mackerel.
Is Kaya's birthday tomorrow? Happy birthday, Kaya.
It is. Kaya's 13 tomorrow.
Wow.
Thoughts and prayers to you. You were a smart and capable father for 13 good years, and starting tomorrow, you're going to be an idiot for the next 5 to 10. So
thanks.
Hang in there, my friend. Oh, the teen years. Oh, right.
It gets better, though, right?
Yes. Sometime around age 21, 22, they kind of give you, when they start going through life, they give you this sheepish little, you were right, Dad, about something from the past. And that's that kind of vindication you can't buy on a store shelf. It just feels good when it finally happens.
Yeah.
Between now and then, if they don't make you crazy, it'll all be worth it.
There you go. Matt Middleton texted in with a more serious question. We'll address that with Trigvi, maybe an international news question after the bottom of the hour. Guys, I wanted to start and get both your takes on this because, of course, Pat lives up there in Chippewa Valley, north of Highway 29. Trigvi grew up in that region as well. And one of the things for the show, our show, moving forward in 2025, I want to do a better job of bringing our listeners. I know, Pat, you do this at Courier News Service and Up North News Radio, but things going on in the state and country that really affect our local communities. And one of the places where we've done the show from is Hayward, Wisconsin, WBZH up there, beautiful Hayward, home of the Birkenbeiner and all kinds of great things up there. And one of the things that is not being talked about, and there's a great story today in Mother Jones, and our media guy, Tony Zimmerman, brought this to my attention. I don't want to go a deep dive. I'm going to do something I don't do very often, which is read 3 or 4 sentences here, and I want your take on this. The story is entitled, "It's a Crisis. Federal Cuts Threaten Services for Child Abuse Survivors. A bipartisan bill in Congress could help, but lawmakers have been slow to act. Starts out, when children in rural Hayward, Wisconsin suffered abuse, the small community of 2,500 people was ready with an important resource, a child advocacy center with a team of experts prepared to guide them through the trauma. For nearly 8 years, the Marshfield Child Advocacy Center Satellite Clinic was the only place in more than 100-mile radius where law enforcement officers, prosecutors, medical professionals, and child protective service workers joined forces to support the child's well-being and pursue a criminal case against the abuser. Moving down, there were critical services for kids who may have otherwise ended up answering questions in a police interrogation room or not reporting at all. But in October, the Hayward Satellite Office was forced to close its doors. It was more than one of 960 child advocacy centers nationwide that have become essential for communities and law enforcement, and they rely heavily on support to serve kids and families. Under the federal funds accounted for, an average of 35% of centers' budgets nationwide, according to the National Children's Alliance. So here's the kicker, moving down. The fund was created in 1984 called the Victims of Crime Act, VACA, or VOCA, which redirects financial penalties levied in a corporate criminal case to a domestic violence shelter, so on and so forth. The final straw at the Hayward facility came this year when it saw an 80% cut to its federal funding. Now, here's the good news. There's a bipartisan bill introduced in both chambers of Congress this year which would divert additional funds collected through the False Claims Act, which penalized defrauding the government. And while the House version of the bill introduced by Missouri Republican Representative Ann Warner, or Wagner rather, now has nearly 200 bipartisan co-sponsors, it hasn't yet gotten a needed committee hearing, and neither House Speaker Mike Johnson nor Jim Jordan would comment. Wisconsin Republican Representative Tom Tiffany, whose district includes both Hayward and Marshfield, has not signed on to support the bill. His office did not respond for a request to comment to Mother Jones. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat from Wisconsin, supports the bill and is waiting to be added as a co-sponsor. Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson did not respond for comment and is not a co-sponsor. That's a lot of reading, guys. I apologize, but I wanted to set it up for the audience. Pat, you live closest to that. Give us your take.
One of the sentences that really stuck out for me, after you mentioned that the money comes from the 1984 Victims of Crime Act, this was a signature law from President Ronald Reagan going through Congress, and it was going to redirect the financial penalties from corporate criminal cases. But here's one other sentence from that article. As prosecutions have declined, the government's payout from that fund has been plummeting for years. That's an indictment right there that we are not prosecuting corporate crime the way that we should. And by the way, the way you get back to that is through something called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which Tom Tiffany and Donald Trump and so many other people have been trying to kill for years. They're now literally putting corporate crime, corporate interests ahead of abused children. If Tom Tiffany has a soul, he will be on that bill, you know, by the end of the week and moving this thing along rather than having a necessary service like that close on his watch.
Trigby, 30 seconds left. We'll pick up after the break. But again, as we looked at what happened in this election, I think we need to start talking about issues that affect our local communities like Hayward and Marshfield and why Republicans, MAGA Republicans, are not helping out Wisconsinites.
Well, I think we have to have honest conversations about the consequences of actions. Period.
Right. We'll come back. Talk more about consequences of actions with Pat Quitelow, Trigby Olson. Your phone calls as well, 855-752-4842. It's a hump day edition, Wednesday edition of the All Ball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After two recounts, an incumbent North Carolina Supreme Court justice was declared the winner by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Her GOP challenger now claims 60,000 of those voters were ineligible.
Democratic Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs was declared the winner over appeals court judge Jefferson Griffin December 10th, after a machine recount in November didn't change the margin's percentage. Tuesday's partial hand recount found no evidence to justify Griffin's request for a full hand recount, according to North Carolina Newsline. Griffin has refused to concede the race and in November appealed to the North Carolina Elections Board to invalidate as many as 60,000 voters. Newsline reports that his challenge includes voters with felony convictions, despite North Carolina's voting rights restoration after sentences and probation are completed. He and the North Carolina GOP are also challenging voters with incomplete registration information, some of whom are even elected officials and have voted for years. Mail ballots from military and overseas voters have been questioned as well. The State Elections Board meets this week to consider the challenges. A spokesperson for the Riggs campaign said in a statement, "This election has concluded and the voters have issued a clear verdict in electing Justice Riggs." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ho-ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho-ho-ho!
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
The days are getting shorter as we head to the 21st of December. The daily light is coming later. But when you get up and grab a cup of coffee, turn it on to Civic Media and Pat Kreitlow, Up North News Radio, because that man is up like sunshine at 6 a.m. across Lake Wissota. The steam coming up from the lake as the crystals form along the shore. When like will Lake Wissota be frozen?
Better. I like this way better than my line, which is just, you know, at my age, you got to get up that early to pee anyway, so I may as well get paid for it. Yours sounds much, much friendlier. I like it.
All right, thank you. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio 6 to 8, joining us from beautiful Lake Wissota, and Trigvi Olson, former Republican like myself and now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joins us from our nation's capital. Guys, before we took the break there, discussing, and it's a long article. I encourage people to look at it on motherjones.com. Called "It's a Crisis: Federal Cuts Threaten Services for Child Abuse Survivors" by Julian McShane. Julianne McShane came out yesterday, and talking about this cuts in federal dollars, and it's affecting the clinics in Marshfield or the Marshfield Clinic in Hayward, the only center for a 100-mile radius for these kids who have been abused to sit down and have counseling. Be able to talk about this with a law enforcement officer or a psychologist, get treatment, and they're having to close. And Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman that represents both Hayward and Marshfield, has yet to sign on to this bill to increase funding to help centers like this to stay open or to not close. Tammy Baldwin has signed on, but Tom Tiffany and Ron Johnson, Republican in the Senate, have not. Trigvi, you said before the break, actions have consequences.
Yeah, I mean, as we grapple with what's happened in the elections, one of the things that we really as a society need to be better at is recognizing that both the individual choices we make end up creating the collective sum of our pieces. And each of us needs to be thinking about whether it's political choices we make or just our response to what's happening in the world or in our communities. We need to really think through our choices and how they fit with who we and how we see ourselves rather than just within a political vein. And, you know, things like this are a question of priorities and choices and where do you fall at the end of the day.
It seems like to me that people make these choices in elections and you vote for guys like Tom Tiffany or Derek Van Orten. And the result is, the consequence is, you're electing people that is not in your own self-interest. And I think the more that we can do that, I can do that. Let me put the finger at myself. The more that I can do that with facts like this and less hyperbole and finger pointing, I think the greater chance we have to have a real conversation with our friends and neighbors, Pat, and maybe have people think a little bit more next time they go to the voting booth.
This is really just George Washington screaming from the great beyond, "I told you so," when he was warning against, you know, establishing a two-party system. Because when you look at public opinion and when you look at certain referendum elections, it is clear that people's values are much more in line with progressives and Democrats. You see it in surveys that say, you know, the federal government should play a role in keeping healthcare affordable. You see it in public opinion polls on things like gun safety and abortion rights. You see it in statewide referendums on things like abortion rights and Medicaid expansion and the minimum wage. But so long as we continue to have more of a two-party sporting event, who's got the best talking points or the best fear tactics, then it's always going to be easier for people to root for a team and say, you know, well, be cynical and say, oh, nothing gets done anyway. You've got your values. How do we help you understand better who actually espouses those values? It's not Tom Tiffany for Northern Wisconsin. He'd turn that place into a, you know, there'd be mines from coast to coast, border to border on there, if there were. You know, damn the quality of the water and the air up there and whatever he can do to expand industry and strip malls up there. And he's not going to sign on to this bill to keep a child abuse clinic operating. Ron Johnson's never going to return that call because it spends a dime of money that otherwise would go to tax breaks for the very wealthy. If we can get more people to start seeing these folks as individuals with poor values, then we'll get better representation, but not till then.
Trigvy?
Well, I think, you know, I say this a lot. Democrats focus on putting out policies to individuals. Republicans focus on narratives. I think beyond that, I think Pat's onto something, that the two parties have both gotten to a place where each side demagogues the other in ways that leave most people in the middle who really focus on common sense, sort of scratching their heads and ultimately having to make a choice. And in a lot of, you know, we see this swinging back and forth. But, Democratic soul searching and progressive soul searching needs to start with, you know, after they lost in 2004, the most popular book on the left was What's the Matter with Kansas, which was basically like asking, why are these people such rubes that they don't support us? The reality is there is lots of common ground to be found that isn't in the extremes, and it's where the center is. But we both, you know, people of common sense need to be messaging that better to voters, whether they come more from the right or from the left.
Pat, which is too bad because most of the money is on the extremes
right.
for communicating
yeah,
to
right.
voters.
But right. let me, well, that's,
as,
right.
as the Democrat here, Pat, let me give you a chance because I'm truly curious about what frustrates me. Is that now one of the issues? You know, Governor Evers says, oh, I'm going to veto the whole budget if the Republicans force state workers back to their offices instead of working from home. And now he's walked part of that back. I think that people that deal directly with the public should be in an office. But if you're a number cruncher and you're doing state analysis, fine, work from home. I find out today through a source that Bob Lang, who everybody knows and loves and trusts, who is revered in the state building, that basically that's the facts that Lang has, that that's what's happening now. But instead of Democrats truly dealing in facts, it becomes some big standoff of, well, we don't think people should have to, you know, come into the state office building. And I'm telling you, people that make less than $50,000 a year have no sympathy for working from home. They just don't. It's a terrible message.
It may be a terrible message, but again, it's just, again, it's easy to demagogue. And I'd rather see this on a case-by-case, job-by-job basis.
Fair enough. Pat Kreitlow, every morning, 6 to 8. I appreciate you, my friend. We'll talk to you later.
All right. See ya.
Trigvy Olsen. I'll get the names right. He's coming back. We'll discuss more things, international news, and also some Packers. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Coffee prices are seeing record highs. Not something I want to hear as I work on my third cup of the day. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you midday on a Wednesday. Market advisor John Heinberg says coffee prices are catching attention after blowing past highs not seen since the Carter administration. He has the details on the weather disruptions that have hindered coffee farmers.
Prices have jumped about 80% this year in terms of in value. And we're looking at the two major producers, which is Brazil and Vietnam, have been dealing with a lot of weather issues. Obviously, Brazil was a heavy dry early at the coffee plant. It takes time to produce that bean. You know, those supplies are cut there. We're dealing with a heavy wetness in the Vietnam area, so that's causing some issues there. Plus, just add to it, the popularity of coffee continues to grow. In terms of a drink that's being enjoyed by a lot of people. So that might be something we have to see down the road.
Tight supply of coffee beans as the demand continues to rise. John Heinberg joining us. He's a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Stick around. We'll take a look at the midday prices for the commodities grown here in Wisconsin.
Giving back. It's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And from Farm First Dairy Cooperative, serving dairy farmers across the Midwest since 2013. Farm First Dairy Cooperative, member-focused, member-driven, member-led. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Grain prices are moving upward midday on a Wednesday. From Chicago, cash corn is up a penny and a quarter at $4.50 and a quarter. December 2025, new crop corn is up 2 and a quarter cents at $4.44 a bushel. Cash soybeans are up 4.5 cents at $9.99 and a quarter. And November 2025, new crop soybeans are moving up 4 and a quarter cents, trading at $10.14 a bushel. Cash wheat is at $5.67 a bushel, up a nickel and a quarter. And new crop wheat is up 6 cents at $5.83 a bushel. Class 3 milk prices are moving in the opposite direction. The January contract is down 6 cents at $19.19 a hundredweight, and the February Class 3 milk contract is 4 cents lower, trading at $19.24 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Blustery and becoming cold, with crashing temperatures all throughout the day and scattered snow showers. Accumulations should stay under an inch, but winds will whip up to 30 miles per hour, creating wind chills that'll feel more like 10 to 20 below. And the cold has a grip on us tomorrow, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 26 degrees at our studios.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Clayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Master Discombobulator Dan Schaefer and Northeast Wisconsin actor Kurt Krause drops by the studio to discuss independent film. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Oh, let's listen to this. Fantastic. Welcome back to Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on Wednesday, December 11th. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, a Wisconsin boy like myself, former Republican like myself, unlike myself, a Green Bay Packer owner. And while I am getting ready to sit in the middle seat of coach class, Trigvi will be sipping wine in first class on the way out to Seattle. He flies nice.
I fly a lot. Tom.
Yes, that's why. You earn those miles.
Those are hard earned. And as I told my daughter, you know, once they from a very young age, because of my status, millions of miles and whatnot, we get upgraded, right? And I happen to have to take a flight to Delta rather than United. All my miles are in United.
Right.
And I think Ula was maybe 5 or 6 and had always sat in business class, and we're walking on the Delta flight and she's like, "Dad, I want to sit in the big seats. Why are we sitting back here?" Oh my God, did I chew her out. I mean, she might have only been 5 years old, but she got it from me about, like,
you explained that was a privilege that not afforded to
that
many.
Mom and Dad, by flying all over God's green earth, like, earned them. I did. Honestly, a lot of times I don't upgrade. I did upgrade us for this just because it's
a long trip, you know, all the way across the country. Yeah.
And I want to try. It's easier for me to get work done.
Of course.
And Kaya's got to make a painting for a contest. So she announced to me today that she's going to be doing watercolors as we fly, which I'm not quite sure. She's done a very good job of time management, that she's entering this big national art contest and she's painting it with watercolors on a plane.
But you know, she'll be the star of the flight. The flight attendants will love that.
Flight attendants always love Kaya. I'm excited. You know, they're excited to come on and talk to you, Todd, because of course you've gotten to know them. And I think they're more excited about going on the radio and talking with you than seeing you than they are about going with Dad to the Packer game.
Well, tell Ula that
it's also going to be raining, Todd. Going to Packer games with you ensures that we freeze our
posteriors
butts off and stand around in the rain.
47 though. I checked the weather. 47, and I think there's like a 60% chance of rain for the game.
That's not too bad.
Not too bad. But Friday, it's like a 90% chance of rain and like 45. Seattle.
You know what I want to do though?
What?
Maybe we could do it after the show. I've never gone on one of the ferries out into the Puget Sound.
Oh, it's great.
So that's what we were thinking about going and doing.
We could hop a ferry and go over to Bremerton, where my godson lives, and we could check out around the naval shipyard there, the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah,
and then we have to be back to see some friends for dinner, but
that's super cool. Sure. Yeah. Wes in Middleton, listening on WMDX, says today, Toddy, I'm also heading out to Seattle to the game. I got upgraded to first class as well. I'll wave at you from the front as we leave Madison. Well, thanks, Wes. If you're on a Delta flight around 11 o'clock tomorrow, I'll be on it. Going to hear
it's
to...
It's good to know that we have some others of those people that are on there. I am an elitist flyer. I'm very not elitist on many things.
No, but you're not.
I am an elitist when it comes to my flying.
I know you are.
I hate to say it. 2 million miles on United. I put up with a lot of garbage.
But you deserve it. You deserve it. So Wes,
you got me venting. Do you remember? You got me venting one night from Chicago, Todd. I called you from a lounge at Todd got the full Trigvi when travel was going good.
He was not happy at all. No. We could not have.
And been. I am genuinely, I think, a good natured person.
You are.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to get you riled up.
More than most people, but yeah.
Well, Wes, let us know. We'll announce, where we're going to be from. We're at, and you can stop by and say hi if you want. Wes in Middleton, safe travels out there. That'd be great. And again, Trivia and I will do the show live from Seattle on Friday. I've checked in with our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. He's going to come on in the 1 o'clock hour, right after he gets out of the Matt LaFleur press conference. So he'll have the latest information on Friday with us in the 1 o'clock hour, Mike Clemens. Looking forward to that.
Was Mike able to find out when they fly out, like what the details are?
Don't know that.
Get there
don't
and
know
stuff?
That. Yeah, don't know that. Off the top of my head. We could check. So it should be, and also I believe that Dr. Kristen Lyerly is going to be joining us via phone on Friday.
Well, she's a Packer fan.
I know. That's why she agreed to come on. So Dr. Lyerly will be talking.
She has to live with those purple. Sometimes interact with those purple people.
So Dr. Lyerly will
I don't like those people much.
Dr. Lyerly will give us a prescription for a win on Friday's show as well and more surprises. So join us on Friday. And then we're staying out there on Monday to do the show out there on Monday from Bremerton. And Tuesday, Trigvy will be right here in the guest host chair. I may be back for the second hour, depending upon how my flight goes. So Trigvy, we appreciate you filling
in. And I may be in studio.
I know.
It's possible. It's still up in the air.
We're looking forward to that. All right.
We'll see.
20 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock. Trivy got a text in earlier and want to get to it because you are a guy who has gone all over the world and taken on dictators and the like. You know a lot about this. A serious question from Matt in Middleton, listening on WMDX off the text line. Todd and Trigvy, with the investigations and exposure of the Assad regime's cruelty in Syria, will this reveal Tulsi Gabbard's questionable positions? Thank you. Appreciate the question there, Matt in Middleton. For those that don't know, Trigvy, the quick primer on this. Tulsi Gabbard, of course, former so-called Democrat, now Republican from Hawaii, who has been all in on MAGA. And there's reports are that there's a lot of intel on her that she has been complicit with Putin in Russia and Assad in Syria. And now that Assad has been overthrown, the feeling is that there might be documentation there that reveals some of this. What are your thoughts?
You know, I don't have any insight into that. I mean, there is a real history of Tulsi Gabbard's parroting Russian, Syrian talking points, which is troubling, right?
Yeah.
And mirroring these things, particularly for a position like that at DNI. I would say that for people who are watching that in the news, the Assad regime, going back to his father, has been one of the most brutal in the Middle East. And in fact, I can't remember the name of the incident. I mean, murdered hundreds of thousands of their own citizens, really bad people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people thought he was going to be a reformer. He's actually an ophthalmologist, married a British woman, and there was hope. He ended up being as brutal or worse than his father. It's a big deal that Assad has gone down. Now, it remains to be seen what the law of unintended consequences says. The guy who's the leader of the rebel group that has overtaken things, you know, there's a $10 million reward from his past life in Al-Qaeda. He's saying the right things. It's hard to know where this is going to go. I think it took people really by surprise. Mm-hmm. It is a blow to Putin and the Russians, certainly. It's a blow to the Iranians. But we'll just have to see. I mean, we'll just have to see where it goes.
Yeah.
But generally a good thing that people like Assad in power, bad.
And I also think we talked about this when this happened earlier in the week, that I think situations like this just remind us why it's important to have serious and experienced people in the federal government in places of power, whether it's the CIA, whether it's Department of Defense, whether it's the UN ambassador, so on and so
State.
Forth. Yes, Department of State as well. Update us your thoughts, Trigvy. You talked to us a little bit about this, saying, you know, look, don't get too carried away or distracted by some of these appointments that you might not agree with. Focused on other things that are more important, the policy things that the Trump administration, incoming Trump administration, may or may not be doing. Just looking at what's happened in Washington this week, of course, Trump went on Meet the Press, talked about saying that he was open to deporting American citizens, i.e. kids that were born here. And according to the Constitution, 14th Amendment, birthright citizenship, if a person is born here, you're an American citizen. End of story, period. Now Trump is saying if those kids have parents who are undocumented, that, and he uses the auspices of, well, we want to keep them together, quote unquote, that deporting American citizens and having no regard or little regard for the actual U.S. Constitution. Give us your thoughts on that.
Well, it seems unlikely that the president can arbitrarily overturn constitutional amendments. Now, he might try and it will end up in the courts. And, you know, it's a slippery slope. I think my personal opinion is that really the immigration system, and Donald Trump owns part of this because, and as do many others, but mm-hmm. I think it's more owned on the right. There have been serious efforts to try and address it in a bipartisan way. Yes. James Lankford, conservative, they had a compromise. Trump basically killed it in the House because he wanted the issue to be able to demagogue it. I don't know what will actually happen. I mean, I think with a lot of these things, with where Trump is going, you know, we just kind of have to wait and see. There are some really unserious people that he appears to have nominated for serious positions. There are other people where the left is taking the bait on the shiny object and seems to be against everybody. You know, Marco Rubio is certainly somebody whose resume is qualified to be Secretary of State. Elise Stefanik, you know, you can disagree with how they've handled the Trump administration. Sean Duffy as DOT, you know, you might dislike Sean, but the reality is certainly has a resume that fits for being that. He's as qualified as Ray LaHood was, right?
Right.
You know, I just think there's going to have to be a picking of battles here. And that's what's really important in this. And we'll see. Do Senate Republicans, you know, hold the line? And
really, really, really
past quick. Is not a, you know, past is an indicator that that may not happen, but the past isn't necessarily an indicator of future returns either.
I want to get to L.A. Tom in just a second, but really quickly to your point earlier, we talked about this. Greg Sargent reported, reminded us in 2017 that Democrats offered then President Donald Trump $27-28 billion to go towards his wall at the border. But Stephen Miller inside the Trump administration, now going to run immigration apparently in Trump 2.0. Stephen Miller convinced Trump to kill the deal because the compromise of Democrats said, we'll give you $28 billion for the wall if we legalize Dreamers. Trump was ready to do it. Stephen Miller killed it. So again, there have been opportunities for Republicans to do something as well as Democrats in the past. Let's be honest. I mean, Democrats controlled everything the first 2 years of Biden. They could have fixed this and they didn't. And it's just been an unwillingness. You know this as well as I do, that to truly fix immigration and to staff it so that you expedite some of these applications, it's going to cost a lot of money. And neither side has been willing to be honest with the American taxpayers on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yes. And the reality is, the conversations are occurring in ways that aren't really. There are serious conversations that have gone on, like what Lankford and the Republicans and Democrats who came up with the compromise. Those are serious conversations. And it was based on, I'm going to get some of what I want and you're going to get some of what you want. And we can all live with that.
Right.
Part of the bigger issue that we're facing, whether it's at the community level, the national level, the state level, is no one wants to take half a loaf. We become incredibly zero sum. For me to win, you have to lose. And there's plenty to be gained by people finding common ground. I mean,
I totally agree. I'm going to come back and take LA Tom's call. We're up against the clock, LA Tom's. I don't want to get you on and have to put you on hold. So if you can hold for the break, we're going to do that. Very quickly off the text line, Steve in Milwaukee saying, Trigvy is too wishy-washy. Stand for the people, man. Well, I like Trigvy. I mean, right? I mean, but Steve, you bring up an important point, Steve, and that is that I think that both sides have gotten, it's either all or nothing. And Trigvy and I came up when, to govern, it was something called pragmatism, Trigvy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just,
yeah, I mean,
nobody gets everything.
No, I mean, the genius of the founding fathers is they wrap the zero sum of who holds power in the win-win of democracy.
Come on back. Your phone calls, L.A. Tom, Trigvy Olsen, and more on the Civic Media Radio Network.
What can you say about Brett Favre? He's the MVP in the league, and this is a great team.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up in hour 2. Trigvy, you got to do this next week when you're filling in. I might be back in time. But we're right in the middle of the Civic Media's Growing Up Gift List Text to Win Contest. Coming up in hour... Yes, it's growing up. Coming up in hour 2, your chance to win. And today, this coming hour at 1 o'clock, your chance to win an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Cannot wait. You have to download the Civic Media app. Go to your app store. It's free. Takes less than a minute. Download it to your Apple or Android device, and we'll tell you in hour 2 how you can win. Somebody next hour is going to win an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then everybody gets entered in for one of 8 grand prizes, including a robot vacuum, which Trigby knows all about,
a humidifier,
an espresso machine, a snowblower, or a luggage set. More on that later. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. L.A. Tom is on the line from beautiful Los Angeles, California. Tom, thanks for joining us. What say you?
I'm guessing that is just an in-state deal, right?
I think anybody can win. I think you could text in, Tom. There are no barriers. Okay. There are no borders here. We're an open border contest. God. Although it's a statewide contest, anybody can enter.
Oh God, don't say that. The Republicans will actually start repeating that. No open borders.
You want to go robotic on your floors, huh, Tom?
I know, right? Exactly. No, I want the trip to Chula Vista. That sounds good.
Right.
No, the question I have is this, because you guys are both, you know, sensible past Republicans, and I just don't understand what it would be that in Franklin Delano Roosevelt's policy, what it is that you guys would actually object to. Because like we talked about before, Todd, we talked about how back in the day it was $3 million or more would be taxed at 90%, but then you'd invest a lot more money in your business or whatever it might be. And today it might be $30 million or
correct.
You know, if we adjusted it or whatever.
Right.
So I'm just trying to figure out what it is, because to me, FDR didn't believe in people living off the system. FDR believed in people going out and filling potholes. If you know, as the government being the we the people government being the employee of last resort. All of the policies that I see and I've this weekend, I just listened to his different speeches. And I'm just like, this guy talked about all Americans. He talked about, he really did put it, the corporations against the American people in terms of, you know, doing that dichotomy there. Mm. And it was needed back then because it was a 25%, you know, right where we're at right now, basically 100 years, you know, later.
Right.
And I'm just trying to figure out, because I know when, you know, Reagan came in, and I know you guys are both Reagan buffs, that, you know, that it, that's when the tax rate got lowered to, you know, 37% from even Eisenhower. And I'm just trying to figure out how you guys feel if someone came on the scene that was a, you know, FDR Democrat in terms of, you know, the same policies or, yep. you know, increasing things like, yep. you know, free college education or whatever it might be, how you guys would feel about that? Because I honestly believe government is good. And I believe mm-hmm. we, the people, are the government. And I do believe, though, when you talk about bipartisan and you talk about compromise these days, it sometimes means that both parties are bought off by the same donors.
Oh, and sure. In some cases.
Money in politics.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you so much. Trigvy?
Well, I would say that both parties are bought off by the same kind of class of donors, i.e. the billionaire set to a degree. Mm. I think to Tom's question about FDR, and I'm trying to find the book, I think it's called Traitor to His Class. I read a great... actually, audiobook, because I only do audiobooks, a great biography of FDR. I was kind of going through this period where I was trying to listen to audio books on all the presidents. I think if you look at the Great Society programs and what FDR was doing, and then you take it to the next step, which Lyndon Johnson was the extension, really, of that. You know, like anything else, it's laws of unintended consequences. So when Tommy Thompson was working on welfare reform, right, welfare in the state of Wisconsin really had gotten to the place where it wasn't serving the people it was intended to serve, and it wasn't serving the state either. And so the idea was, how do we come up with something that works? And it was, okay, we're going to give people more benefits, we're going to give them childcare, we're going to give them a hand up, not a hand out, right? So I think a central piece of the problem that we have is two things. One, on the left, there's a tendency not to want to acknowledge anything that you know, that the federal government, for example, and it's why I have no problem with the idea that you're going to have people looking at federal government spending, as long as it's done within the vein of the Constitution, and ultimately it's Congress that initiates cuts. That they look at where things that money's being spent that we can't afford to spend, mm-hmm. right? At the same time, though, I would say on the right with taxes, you have this notion, you know, that Reagan cut taxes, supposedly that gross revenue, the Lafleur curve. But anybody who studied economics, and part of the reason I studied economics at Eau Claire was because I was fascinated in sort of that macroeconomics. If you look at the Lafleur curve, there's a law of diminishing returns. And the law of unintended consequences on the right is we should just cut taxes till there's zero. You're going to have no revenue.
45 right? seconds.
So at the end of the day, I think both sides have kind of reached this point where, again, it gets back to there are people who want to have serious discussions to try and solve some of these problems. Social Security is going to be mm-hmm. bankrupt in 2037. We have to have a solution to that.
Right.
Trigvy Olson, needs to be a solution. It's unfair that people like us paid in for all these years and aren't going to get anything.
Right. Trigvy Olson, Lincoln right. Project, appreciate my friend. We'll see you in Seattle on Friday. For my two cents, I see if Steve Gunderson put it best. Government should help get everyone to a starting line. But then it's up to people to kind of, you know, it should be an equalizer, not a lifeline. So that's where I'm
right.
at. 100%. Appreciate you, Trigvy. Stay tuned. Hour two is next.
All right.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The next new Wisco weekend is going to the dogs and the cats and all things animals. I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Terry Barr from Rescues to Why Pets Are Good For You. You won't want to miss it.
Saturday mornings at 11, Sundays at 8 on WGBW and WISS. Mino and the Mayor.
I'm going to admit something that I normally would not admit. A lot of times I don't wear underwear.
We got to go to a break.
I don't have a cart, and I'm carrying this stuff.
Yeah.
I got my finger in the loop, holding my pants up, because they would literally go down. And twice, people stop me. Hey, John Mino, as I'm trying to hold my pants up and hold my stuff in my arms.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At a GOP House hearing today focusing on the U.S. chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan more than 3 years ago, Secretary of State Antony Blinken testifying and pushing back, saying the Biden administration inherited the deal made by the outgoing Trump administration with the Taliban to withdraw. Blinken now heading to Turkey later this week after Syrian rebels toppled the Assad regime. ABC's Brit Klinik says working to keep the region from spiraling further.
The emphasis will be on a stable transition to try and calm fears in the region of a power vacuum and the lawlessness that may ensue. We heard from Blinken's team from the State Department saying that they will head there to reiterate the United States' support for an inclusive Syrian government.
Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth still meeting with senators on Capitol Hill. His latest talks with Senator Susan Collins today as he tries to shore up support before his confirmation hearings. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW.